Hey guys, this is Eileen
and Tiana,
and we are going to be starting our political talk show here, so we'll be on for the next 30 minutes, but before we start off, Tiana's got some words for you.
All right, this is our disclaimer. The views and opinions expressed in the show are those of the hosts, producers, and guests of the show and do not necessarily reflect those of Elizabethtown College, the Department of Communications, or WWEC. The purpose of this program is to create an open and respectful dialogue on politics and related issues. We welcome feedback via WWEC's Twitter account at WWECFM. All right. So here we are, and yesterday was the presidential debate, the first one of the season. So
it was... It was a historical debate, actually. According to CNN, it was the most watched presidential debate.
No way.
In the last, since 87, I think they said, is when they started televising them or something like that.
I am not surprised.
For a long time. Like, yeah. This is the most watched. Which, it was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Yeah, it wasn't as big of a hullabaloo as I thought it would be. Like, I was really expecting some...
True. I think a lot of people were kind of hoping it was going to be, like, a full-on wrestling match. I think there was a little bit of anticipated excitement about that. But, I mean, it's good that, you know, that didn't happen, because that
exactly,
would have been disappointing.
Exactly, that's... Yeah.
That would really been upsetting for our whole country.
Right. I wouldn't have wanted that to happen.
No.
But
no.
Anyway. So, I guess we're going to just...
Kind of react to the debate.
Yeah. So what's your reaction initially? What,
like a full reaction? Like a just general overall?
Whatever kind of reaction you want to give.
Okay. She's going to make me go first. I think it was better than I expected, though I think both candidates were guilty to varying degrees of getting on their own little tangents and not answering the question,
mm-hmm.
which I think always happens in debates.
Right.
In these kinds of debates. But also, like, I think because there is so much, like, animosity between, like, the candidates and between, like, the parties in general right now, it almost got, like, there was times where, you know, it should have been a question being answered and ended up being, like, an attack on each other, like,
mm-hmm.
something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Which I don't think, personally don't think that's how debates should be. I mean,
because right.
there's plenty of advertising on both sides of the parties, you know, like attack ads, like on a regular basis. And so I think the debate should be, like, reserved for actual discussion of actual issues that, mm-hmm. you know, like a platform kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah, I would agree with that. I think it was a lot more toned down than I expected. You know, I thought that there would be a lot more mm-hmm. nasty comments, but I was really glad that there weren't. I do think that both of them behaved themselves. Even Trump, I think he really, you know, tried to tone himself down so that, you know, just making it more of a, not more of a conversation. It's not a conversation, I think he did tone himself down, you know, based on what he could have said, what he could have done. So,
I would say I think he was a little bit more well-behaved than I was expecting, though the constant, like, interruptions in, like, the...
Right.
like, screaming wrong or, like, I didn't say that or that kind of thing, especially in situations where... what he was interrupting was completely just contradictory to fact, because some of the things, like, were direct quotes that he had said, and then he'd be like, I didn't say that.
Uh-huh. Well, there are two sides to that. I mean, on GOP.com, I was just reading the five lies of Hillary of the night, and I, you know, obviously there are going to be
yeah,
two
I
sides
mean,
to this,
100%,
but...
100%, obviously there was lies
yeah.
on both sides, like,
but,
clearly.
You know, just trying to discern the facts... is really hard, because I'm not going to go to Hillary's fact-checking site. I'm just...
Yeah.
I just don't trust it. How can I trust it? Especially after... Like, he brought up about the Bernie issue, that if she really did allow... If she did, you know, want this to be rigged for the nomination,
mm-hmm.
I I just can't trust someone like that.
Yeah. As someone who was a staunch Bernie supporter, I do understand that, trust me.
Uh-huh.
Lots of work was put into something that was, I don't want to say doomed to begin with, but definitely had people working against it to begin with.
Uh-huh.
But, I mean, you know, there's a fair amount of sketchy going on everybody's part right now.
Uh-huh.
So, it's hard to point the finger at either one of them in that situation.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think she handled herself very well. And in response to the voter, or, like, the fact-checking thing,
mm-hmm.
I didn't go on her website to fact-check.
Uh-huh.
I just, like, a lot of them, you know, like, for example, when she called him out on saying that he had said that climate change was a hoax created by China, and then he was like, I didn't say that. He has a tweet that specifically says climate change was created by China as a way to, like, take over America. That's not the exact quote, but it's something...
Okay.
Paraphrasing, like, along those lines.
Uh-huh.
So there was quite a few things like that. You should speak.
I don't know. I think it really depends on what side you're on. Like,
yeah.
Because there are, I mean, let's just face it, there are different facts for each side. You know, almost everything that Hillary said can be discredited by another person, and almost everything that Trump says can be discredited by another person, and obviously mm-hmm. they're both imperfect candidates, so
yeah.
I'm not going to be behind everything that Trump says, obviously, and so that's, you know, something we have to discern on our own, I guess, as we watch these debates.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I also think that on the Clinton side of this, she came prepared, as was brought up by her, but I think specifically in reaction to, you know, they each came with ideas of how they were going to, like, make jabs at each other,
mm-hmm.
but I think hers were, like, very well prepared, and she had, like, specific situations or quotes that he had said, whereas he was more along the lines of, you know, I will give him the super predator thing. I'll give him that. But, you know, like, bringing up the emails again, which is something that we've gone through over and over and over, and we should kind of be, like, done with by now, honestly.
But it's huge. It's an enormous issue.
I mean, it is I agree that it's an issue, but, I mean, she's gone through the legal process with it.
I know, but it's corrupt. But she really should be in jail. If anyone else did that, they would be in prison. And there's, you know, there's evidence, obviously, on my side of the table, but that she did it purposefully. And that, you know, the 600 times the Benghazi embassy asked for extra help, that's apparently, I've heard that it's in those emails that she had deleted or... You know, so I think it's an enormous issue that really can't just be wiped away.
Yeah. I mean, I understand that, but I think the issue with constantly going back to that is that when people go there, you know, Trump has, like, thousands, at least more than 3,000 lawsuits against him that have gone through,
mm-hmm.
that he has been sued that many times.
Mm-hmm.
So... Like, I mean, even assuming that maybe some of those weren't legit or whatever, like, 3,000, like, lawsuits?
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess it is, but I'm sure she's been sued a lot, too. I don't know the exact number, but all I know is she should be sued. Not condoning anything. This is not the... This is my disclosure. No one is...
She's not encouraging all of you to go on
suicide. Yeah, no, I'm not condoning this. No.
Nice try, though.
Yeah.
But I just... I feel like, you know, both sides have issues with legality and different issues, but
mm-hmm.
I think it's important to focus on that it is both sides. That neither candidate...
Oh, yeah, of course.
Neither candidate is ideal in this, like...
Right.
This situation.
Not ideal, nope.
Disclaimer, neither of us were supporting... these people, correct?
Necessarily.
Like originally.
No, I was not.
In the primary. No, these were not our choices.
I feel that this is my choice now that the options are upon us. I think that this is the best choice that...
And I mean, I'm in the same boat. But to begin with...
Yeah. To begin with, we were not. No.
No.
Nope.
Just no. So, I mean, you know... I mean, coming from that place, I think we both knew that this wasn't exactly who we wanted and that there was other candidates maybe who were more appropriate or were...
Definitely.
Had less controversy primarily surrounding them.
But we're thrown into this now, so...
Here we are. So, I mean...
Just have to
rely on... You know, both sides are sketchy in their own ways, and so I think it's important to recognize that literally neither one is perfect, and, you know, that there are going to be issues on either side. And so I think when it comes down to it, the focus needs to be taken off of these controversies, because it doesn't matter. At this point in time, they're both in the running for president, and these controversies aren't going to make a difference. Like, no one's going to, at this moment in time, be like, hey, we have to pull you out of the race because we're throwing you in jail. On either side.
I don't think they will. She gets away with so much, in my opinion, from my understanding. I don't think there is a way that she would ever be...
No, that's what I'm saying, is that I think Trump gets away with lots of things, but I mean, neither of them, at this point in time, are going to be indicted right now. And so, that controversy really is null and void in relation to their candidacy right now. I think the main... Like, really, the important part should be their, you know, their platform issues, because if they get president, that's what's going to matter. That's what's going to affect us more than the other controversies.
Mm. Yeah, that's an interesting take. I would agree somewhat. I mean, you make a good point. I just can't get past it. I can't. And even the moderator brought it up. So apparently he thinks it's of some worth.
Yeah.
But, you know, obviously we would want to focus on other things as well, because, as you said, that's going to really determine.
Yeah. I think Lester Holt did a great job, though, personally. I think he was a very good moderator.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there were some parts where he could have been, you know, maybe seen as a little bit more biased, but I think for the most part he did a nice job.
Okay. Well... We just about have to wrap up the session.
Yeah, right. We were just going on, ready to plow through.
We weren't going to make time there.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, we're back.
This is Tiana and...
I'm Eileen.
Mm-hmm. And we're here on Checks and Balances, the E-Town political radio show.
She says it so, like, quietly. Like, maybe I can slip in this name right there.
Yeah.
I'm not totally against the name, so I think it's pretty cool. Might be okay with that.
Okay.
Gotta get, like, station approval, but...
Right.
I wouldn't be against it. Okay, so... We're gonna... on Constitution Day, Dr. Monica Smith, the Director of Diversity and Inclusion... I think I got the title right. I hope so. Mm-hmm. Moderated the discussion and had four questions that she had kind of prepared for us. Those questions being, what... part of the Constitution we thought would be most important for a president to focus on, the next president during his or her term, voter ID laws, and our thoughts on them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not good, good, too lax, not strong enough. That's the same thing. Too lax or not lax enough. There we go.
Right.
gun control. I think that one's pretty self-explanatory.
Yeah, right.
And free speech, specifically in regards to whether or not we thought political correctness was encroaching on free speech. So we don't have a whole lot of time left, so we're just going to focus on two of those. So I think if we decide our first one's going to be free speech, and then we'll see what our second one will be.
Right.
We'll decide when we get there.
Maybe gun control?
Maybe gun control. I think gun control would be okay.
Okay.
So all right. We can do free speech first.
Okay.
So do you want to give your opinions on this?
Sure. Well, I mean, I think it's really important to have respectful and open dialogue, political and otherwise. And I think that there are ways of making speech respectful without putting limitations like political correctness does. you know, this is something so integral to our society that if there are encroachments other than what the law has already placed on them, the legal standards, then I think it is encroaching on our right to free communication, free speech. I think it's really important that we have open political dialogue. And I think a byproduct of political correctness is that people are afraid to say anything that differs from the thoughts and views of those around them. And that's why I think it's just imperative that we respect this, this constitutional right.
Yeah, I mean, I also think it's very important, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think my main qualm, that's a fun word, qualm with this is that I think the idea of political correctness has been skewed because, like you said, there are laws in place.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically, you know, there are laws against hate speech and, you know, things like that and slander and libel and all those things. So free speech isn't 100% free. You know, we can't actually say everything because there are some things that have been made illegal.
Right.
And I think the issue is that while you can have respectful conversations, and I completely agree,
mm-hmm.
about controversial issues, you know, whether it be race, gender, sexuality, the issue is that as people from different, you know, minority races or sexual orientation, or...